Almost every first Monday of the month, I am joined by my boss, Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. And this Monday, first Monday of the month, is no exception. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, December the 5th. Mike is all ears and wants to hear what you think of what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio and how we are serving you and how we might serve you better. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
It's good to be here and boy, I'm fully in the holiday mood with two big victories in football. That means the Rose Bowl and the Packers seem to be doing great as well. And I had the chance, I feel very lucky to have been one of the singers with the Madison Symphony Orchestra chorus over the weekend. And I still have many of the tunes that we were singing kind of running in my head. So it's about time to be in the holiday mood, and here I am.
Well, it is great to have, and you're right. What a great weekend. Boy, oh boy. And heart-stopping action, too, with those with the Badgers and the Packers. And what's better than football and Christmas carols?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, wonderful. You know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit, Mike, about the new head honcho at NPR. He, Gary Nell, used to be with PBS.
Specifically, he was the head of the Sesame Workshop, which is the current name of what I grew up knowing as the Children's Television Workshop, but they now have lots of internet things they do and so on. And they invented Sesame Street and a whole bunch of other great kids programming, and he was responsible actually for, among other things, the change of the name to Sesame Workshop, as he was brought in about 11 years ago there to do a kind of a turnaround and to get them modernized, and they've really refreshed how Sesame Workshop works and found new ways of funding what they do and so on.
I know that he appeared last week on NPR's Talk of the Nation, and he will be appearing with us next month. Is it going to be the first or second Monday?
That will be the first because that's January 2nd.
That's the Rose Bowl day.
That's the Rose Bowl day. And, well, you'll probably be here, Joy, but I think we plan to be on a week after that.
Okay. It's not going to be the first Monday. It'll be the second Monday.
That's my memory. Yeah, but in any case, stay tuned. We'll let people know.
Yeah.
And, looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, that'll be great. I know one of his goals when he was first came on was that he wanted to try to depoliticize NPR. Do you think that's possible?
It's certainly the right goal because our purpose has always been, our meaning all of NPR, the stations and the network and so on, and the whole universe of national public radio, is to serve all of the American public. And going right back to the very beginnings of what founded NPR and PBS, when the Public Broadcasting Act of 1967 was signed, it was a universal vote, 100% nonpartisan vote. Both sides of the aisle were encouraging this development of a new system of public media. And that's the place we'd like to be, is serving all.
I saw some news over the weekend that I guess I shouldn't say I was surprised, but I was kind of surprised. Garrison Keillor had announced a while back that he was going to be retiring, like in 2013, I think. And then now comes the announcement that he is unretiring.
Yeah. He's done that a couple of times. I remember when I was a young program director and he actually did leave. He stopped the show and... long time listeners may remember that, God bless him, Noah Adams tried to do a show for a couple of years that was called Good Evening, and it was okay. I mean, there were some really good elements to it, but it just wasn't a Prairie Home Companion. And eventually, Garrison came back from Europe. He went to Europe that time and started the show again. And it's been a fan favorite before and after that. And I guess even when he announced his retirement a while ago, it sounded like he'd still be around for the news from Lake Wobegon. But he's going to stick around because apparently he's having so much fun, is what it comes down to.
Well, that's good. That's good. Let's talk about what what's coming up programming-wise on Wisconsin Public Radio as we get into the holiday season? Lots of holiday specials and programming?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are some of the ones you'd expect. We've got the Politics Takes a Holiday with the Capitol Steps coming up just before New Year's. And one of my absolute favorites on the other network, the News and Classical Network, we kind of organize our Christmas Eve day around hearing the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols live from Cambridge, England. And there's just a ton of stuff. And we love celebrating with our listeners. And it's easy to find the complete list. It's at wpr.org/holiday. And that has the information for programs on both networks. And so if even if you're a person who can only receive the Ideas Network, you can listen online to the wonderful programming on the other network. And you can find all the information there. WPR.org/holiday.
Sounds very good and very pleasant.
And also looking ahead, we have a tradition here for kind of the ceremonial end of the holidays is how it feels to me. In short, MLK Day, we have the tribute and ceremony that we've been broadcasting, organized by our own team here, right?
Jonathan Overby.
Yes,
will
Jonathan
be the
Overby's
MC.
The MC, and some of our folks, both in TV and radio, work on the broadcast. And it's the 32nd year that we've been doing the tribute and ceremony. Professor Sherilyn Ifill will be the guest, and she'll do a speech, and there'll be some incredible music and so on. And that's a live broadcast on the Martin Luther King Day holiday.
Yeah,
and looking forward to that.
And that's Monday, January
16th.
16th.
At noon.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
All right. That's
and
awesome.
So if it's something where you're in Madison and you'd like to join us at the Capitol, I think you'd find it a really moving and enjoyable ceremony. But in any case, the entire state can tune in right here on the Ideas
Network.
Yeah,
usually at noon.
Yep.
So we also have a special end of the year pledge drive coming up in just a week or so.
That's right. Many will remember the one day Wednesday. Well, this is a one day Tuesday, and we hope to raise 4,000 pledges in one day. So. One of the ways that can happen is make the pledge right now, and we'll count it.
that works.
And that would be great, and you can find the support information at WPR.org. Or we hope that you'll call in or make a web pledge on that day. So
how are Wisconsin Public Radio's finances these days, Mike?
Well, you know, we're in good shape, which is not to say it hasn't been challenging. I think everybody heard the news about the cuts that were planned in the budget for the state, because part of our funding comes in the state, and we took those cuts and we've planned for them. So we've been running a very tight ship to make sure that we're able to be successful there. And thus far, knock on wood, listeners have supported us as we predicted and hoped in terms of member dollars. And it seems like businesses are starting to turn around. We've had a couple of good months of underwriting support that we hope are a trend. And if so, then we'll feel comfortable with the budget for the year. And this one day Tuesday is a part of that. That will really help give us confidence heading into the remainder of our fiscal year, which goes through June 30th.
We are talking this hour with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. And if you have a question for Mike or some feedback that you would like to pass along about what you hear or maybe what you don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, also welcoming your thoughts and questions about stations and transmission issues and our website, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also tweet us on Twitter @JoyCardineShow. What is the latest, Mike, on our web page or our website? I know that we're looking into doing some upgrading.
We are. We're actually looking into a complete overhaul, if you will, brand new in so many ways. But one of the things that we've discovered, because it is, by the way, one of the most used public media websites in the United States, is that you have to keep upgrading and updating the current website even as you're preparing to launch a new one. So we've done things like this is a feature that's been added recently on our homepage at WPR.org, you now find the latest news stories, and you can read them from right there. You no longer have to poke around the website. It used to be very hard to find those. They're right there on the homepage. And pretty soon, we're going to put up some instructions so that people can put them in their Google Reader or like I use iGoogle, and people use them in different kinds of what they call RSS or really simple syndication feeds. We'll have that so people can get the WPR news right into whatever they're using for those feeds. And that's just a small example of something we've done to the current website to improve it. And we'll also be figuring out a brand new news website that we're working in partnership with NPR on in the next 6 months or so.
Speaking of some online things, something new is happening here. If people are going to be ordering online, like through the NPR store or through Amazon.
That's right.
You can make place an order through our website to these entities, and a portion of that purchase will benefit Wisconsin Public Radio?
Yeah, it's a little different in each case. At the NPR shop, we're going to be able to provide people with information about a discount they can receive because we've become an NPR shop affiliate and the funds benefit NPR. And then also on our web pages, I'm looking at one of them right now, there's a, they call it a button or it's one of the, like the advertisement kind of looking things on the website. It says shop now. And so if you go to Amazon through WPR and then make a purchase of, say, an HD radio or something like that, then a portion of those proceeds benefits WPR.
Well, we will remind listeners that this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, taking your questions and feedback about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 20 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, December the 5th. Coming up after 5 during At Issue with Ben Marins, Ben and his guest will discuss the goal of Americans Elect. It's to nominate a presidential ticket that answers directly to voters, not the political system. Find out more about that after 5 o'clock this afternoon. Right now, talking with Mike Crane. During this December edition of Mondays with Mike, it's usually the first Monday of every month that WPR director Mike Crane steps in to share some news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and to listen to your feedback and answer your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's hit the phones, and our first caller is Dick in La Crosse. Hi, Dick.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My suggestion would be take our Wisconsin programming 1 hour later each night, like old-time radio, go till midnight, and maybe on Friday, repeat Science Friday. I work during the day, a lot of good stuff during the day, but we do, people like myself, we can't listen to it at work. So I'd like to, you know, go to bed at midnight, but listen to Wisconsin Public Radio rather than the foreign stuff.
So,
if we could extend an hour each day, it'd be great.
So you'd prefer what to some people feels like a repeat, but it's fresh programming for you.
Yeah, well, yeah, for some people it would be a repeat. Even I listen a lot on, like, after working weekends, so I do see a lot of stuff that's repeated. But during a week, I don't get anything repeated because I'm, you know, I go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and get done at maybe 6. And essentially only listen to public radio.
Yeah, so you get a little bit more of, you get the repeat of the 1 hour of Kathleen Dunn if you're listening late, and you like that idea.
Mm-hmm. And would like that to last a little bit longer, maybe just for listeners who are unaware of it. In the evenings, we do have On Point, which is an NPR talk show from 6 until 8, as it happens from the CBC, is on from 8 until 9. Then there is a repeat of Here on Earth, Gene Faraca's show at 9 p.m., and a repeat of Kathleen Dunn's show from the 10 a.m. hour, I believe, is repeated at 10 p.m.
That's the usual plan, yep.
And then Chapter a Day, which is a repeat of Chapter a Day from 12:30 in the afternoon, is repeated at 11 o'clock. So there is a block of repeated programming in the evening.
Yeah, and one of the things that gets debated here all the time at WPR, and listener input helps us at least think about this, is that we should be, in some people's ears, having all fresh programming. There's a lot of programming that is offered that we don't carry, and if the funds were there to pick up another show that was fresh, that might be something to consider as well. And other people have argued that we should be repeating more, just like Dick says. So as with many things, we have the internal debate and haven't come to a single conclusion. We do a little bit of both.
Right. And then at 11:30 is when we start the BBC World Service, which carries overnight. I remember there was debates as to whether we should just put repeat programming all night long, but then, you know, then you miss out on some of the news programming that's happening all over the world.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Dick, for your input. Let's go next to Bob in Stevens Point. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Joy. 2 points. One of them is you should adopt the C-SPAN pattern for callers, one from this side, one from that side. But frankly, I don't think you got enough callers, and I think people who call in and say the network is too liberal are confusing the callers quite often. That being said, I am tired of the moot comments. I am tired of the comments from guests who talk about things that are impossible. For instance, the rich corporations are treated as individuals. I'm almost positive the Supreme Court said so. The time to talk about that is after an election. I am tired of callers who, and they're more from the left than the right, who repeat, "Oh, I put up a sign, recall Walker, at the end of my driveway, and cars just tooted and smiled and stopped." And, you know, you can only take so many of those. And I also think...
Bob, wait a minute. So you consider yourself a conservative caller, Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll even tell you one more thing I'll confess to you. I have no problem getting on because your screener last week let the cat out of the bag. I was complaining to her for all the... Did you hear what I told her? I got a hunch you did.
No, I didn't, Bob. But you know, I mean, I listen. We want Bob, you and other conservative callers to call in and participate in the programs, and we want callers of all political perspectives to chime in on the different shows, which are not all political shows. We want people from all different perspectives to join us, just as long as you're. You know, you're on the topic being discussed, you're welcome. So, and as long as you're not going to call me names or the guest names, you're welcome. So, I get it. So, you want us, though, to, well, I don't know if we should do that or not, have call this number if you're a conservative, call this number if you're a liberal, which I think C-SPAN does every once in a while.
Yeah, they do that as a regular feature on one of their shows. And it's an interesting idea. It hasn't been our approach for the last 21 years. But it's something we think about. I think one of the difficulties that I face with that idea, Bob, is that it makes an assumption that we're in a dualistic environment, which is to say that there's only the view of the right and the view of the left. And I think our discovery in having the phones open as they are is that there's a broad spectrum of ideas from the far right to the far left, and certainly with a very strong middle as well, that people, you know, we meet people all the time that say, well, I vote Democrat or Republican depending on the person and the issue. And so setting it up as just that one dichotomy, I'm not sure that's right for us, but I do appreciate the suggestion.
Yes, thank you very much, Bob, and keep on calling in.
Yeah.
Here's a number of comments that came into our Audience Services Center. We keep a log of comments and correspondence that listeners share with us. And we heard from one listener who said, "I'm a left-winger, but Wisconsin Public Radio is too right-winged. I would like to see WPR balance out its programming more. another listener said. You call yourself the Ideas Channel, but that's only true if the person talking has the same ideas as you. Those bringing ideas contrary to that of the Democratic Party are immediately discriminated against. And yet a third listener told Audience Services, I started listening to Wisconsin Public Radio a couple of years ago, and I find it's my favorite, most informative, and neutral source on a variety of topics. We have been donating what we can afford. Keep up the great work. So, Mike, what do you do when you hear three comments like that about our balance?
Well, now, let's be perfectly clear. We picked out those three from the comments, and they happened to show right, left, and middle, if you will. And that's what we're striving for. Absolutely. And I do think that there's a place in broadcasting for leftist radio and rightist radio and all the rest. And you can tune the dial and find all of that in most cities. But that the place we're trying to be is in that broad spectrum of having the great conversation of democracy by being here at Wisconsin Public Radio for 9.5 hours a day of local call-in shows as well as the national shows.
Yeah, and again, you can call in to talk about the Ideas Network programming, but you can also call in and talk about entertainment programming that you hear on the weekends. How about the music programming that you hear on the NPR News and Classical Music Network, or the NPR News magazines, Morning Edition and All Things Considered, and the others? This is your opportunity to talk with the director of Wisconsin Public Radio about all things Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And our next caller is Don in Holman. Hello, Don.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, Don.
Hey, listen, you have WPR, NPR, APR, BBC, many, many acronyms. Would you please discuss the relationship between those and who trumps who?
That's a great question. We do have a kind of an acronym soup, and let's just pick out a couple of them to go there. So WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, we're licensed to the state in the form of another acronym, the ECB, or Educational Communications Board, or the Board of Regents as part of UW Extension. And we're responsible as the holders of the licenses for the final decisions about anything. So if we decided that American Public Media was off their rocker about something, it is our responsibility to respond to that as the holders of the license. So that's kind of who trumps who in that sense. But probably the most prominent relationship, the one that people are most aware of, would be that we call ourselves a national public radio station. And the way that works is that all of our stations and stations throughout the country are member stations. So in that case, what it means is that we elect a board of directors that has a majority of station managers, people like me, who are in charge of the stations, as well as members of the public that are part of the NPR board. And it was that board that selected Gary Nell, who we talked about earlier, for instance. And NPR is responsible for conducting its journalism, and we rebroadcast the programs and monitor whether we think they're doing a good job, and through the board we have an ability to change the leadership of NPR and so on as may be needed. And then one other, which is Public Radio International, you hear PRI, and that's different. That's an affiliate arrangement, which is to say that stations like ours purchase programs or sometimes distribute programs with PRI. So in our case, Zorba Pastor on Your Health and To the Best of Our Knowledge and Michael Feldman's What You Know are distributed by PRI, and stations pick that up if they wish. They pay a fee, and then they can carry the program. So different relationships, and we could probably do, you know, a whole couple of pages on the website of frequently asked questions just about these different things. So interesting question, Don. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. And now we go to Brad in Plover. Hello, Brad.
Hi. Number one, could the staff please acknowledge when they receive emails from listeners? And they don't have to comment, just acknowledgement would be great. And number two, I wish WPR would do more investigative journalism. to tell us, the listeners, what the truth is on a topic or issue, instead of just presenting the right and someone from the left and saying, well, here's what the right says, here's what the left says, but who knows what the truth is? That's up for you to decide. Well, we need to know what the truth is objectively on a topic.
That certainly is something we strive for, and probably more so in a news report than we would on a talk show. First, let's talk about acknowledging receipt of emails. I know that when you write to listener@WPR.org that there is an auto-reply that goes out, and that does help to at least know that it's been received. But the challenge, honestly, Brad, is that we just get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails, and acknowledgement can just overwhelm an employee. And so what we try to do instead, and this is related to the whole audience services setup that we have, is that when there's something that's obviously a question, we do try to respond to it. But when it's a comment, instead what we do is we share it with the group and see if that can give us a general impression of what's on people's minds. And then we have opportunities like this. And then as to the investigative, you have a point, and I think that this is a challenge for traditional journalism, period. Not only investigative or what sometimes is called, I like the other name too, accountability journalism, trying to get at the deep facts. And one of the things that we're trying to do to address that here at WPR is we are partners with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. We have my boss, Malcolm Brett, sits on the board of that. And my predecessor, Jack Mitchell, is also involved with that. And they really do things. Probably the one that I remember the most that they did that I thought was a fascinating investigative report was the report they did a year or two ago called Dairyland Diversity. And it was about how all of the immigrants, both legal and illegal, are absolutely changing the dairy industry and our communities. Very small communities in Wisconsin now will have a taqueria or something like that, where because we have so many people from Mexico and so on that are working in our fields, that it's really changed the dairy land. And so those kinds of reports are things we're trying to do more of in partnership with the Center for Investigative Journalism.
Thank you, Brad, for the call.
Yeah.
Somebody contacted Listener Services and wanted to know, why is chapter a day an abridged reading of a book instead of its entirety? You may want to make that fact clear to your audience during each show.
That's a good point. I don't know that we do every time say that, but the reason that they're abridged usually is that a single book could take up many, many weeks, and we try to do, a couple of weeks at a time for a book so that we're rotating and having different things of interest. And it can also be tied up with the rights, that we have the rights to excerpt a reading, but the unabridged version is often read by the author or by a professional book on tape kind of person, and that's for sale, and they don't want chapter a day if they've agreed to allow us to read the book. They don't want that to duplicate what they're selling. So that's one issue. The other comment here was hoping to have not just the last five episodes on the website, but the entire book. And that we have not been permitted to do that. That would be neat. We've had a couple of occasions where we had the complete rights, and those are available on a CD for people to purchase in those particular cases, but it's pretty rare.
Well, speaking of rights, and I assume that has something to do with this question, I am able to access the old-time radio archives and listen to the shows, but is there any way to download them to my computer so I can listen to them or copy them to my iPod so I can have them on the go? Old-time radio drama.
Yeah, and that I don't know 100% the answer to that, but I took a look, and that's absolutely right that we have it set up that way. And in general, the story is that if it's something that we've created here at Wisconsin Public Radio, like this hour that we're listening to together right now or participating in, that's going to be something that we can provide a recording of. And so you could download it at that time because we're prepared to offer you that opportunity. But if it's a work that's been created by someone else, then there are additional copyright rules and things like that that tend to restrict that, whether it's the books or the old-time radio. Probably the one that is most challenging is music, that there are very specific legal requirements to allow downloaded music, and generally, radio stations haven't done a lot of that. Where we are able to usually is when, say, there's a classical music piece that is in the public domain, and on the midday, the program that Norman Gilliland does on the other network, they have a guest who has those rights. We might be able to offer a download in those cases.
Our next caller is Paula in Janesville.
Yeah. Hi, Joy.
Good morning.
Hi, Paula.
Happy holidays,
you
Mike.
Too.
Thanks.
I'd like to hear more diversionary programming at night and on the weekends. So, I don't like the repeat of the weekends. Yuck.
So you'd like more different programs is what
you
mean.
Yeah, something more creative, something that like gets the child going for the weekend, because we've already been adults all week long.
Yeah, so what are you listening to now, Paula?
Well, what is it, Radio Lab and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of that is very depressing.
It does depend. Some of the subjects can be downers. Others can be hilariously fun, but I know what you mean.
So I'm just curious if you catch things like, you know, Michael Feldman's What Do You Know, or Car Talk, or Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and these kind of, fun programs that are on at least the Ideas Network on the weekend.
Yeah, you have to wait for it, though. You got all the week and the night.
Oh, you want that kind of stuff on in the evenings.
That would be nice.
I see. She wants more lighthearted programming on weekday evenings.
We have to get funnier, I think. Yeah. There isn't actually a lot that's offered that would be possible to have like a strip on a weekday evening, that sort of thing. But I like the idea. I think there is a tendency of all of us being, policy wonks, as they say, people that just love the politics and the news, to forget to laugh. And so that's a good point, Paula.
Thank you very much for sharing it. We are talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike usually joins us the first Monday of every month to talk with you about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. So if you've got some feedback for us on Wisconsin Public Radio programming or operations or technical difficulties, whatever it is, we welcome it at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. It's another edition of All Things Political coming up after 9 every Monday after 9. Kathleen will talk with her guests about the week's top news stories. All Things Political coming up after 9. Mike Crane is here, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's an email from Kirk. Kirk says, I listen every day on 90.7 FM in the Madison area. I've noticed that the signal goes out when I pull up to a red light in my car. When the light turns green, the signal comes back. Why does this happen? What's going on here, Mike?
Oh, that's a great question. I've had the exact same experience, although I don't think it's the red and the green that's doing it. I think that, and I'm not an engineer, so this is from having talked to engineers. I think that what happens is when you're at a corner like that, especially listening to a distant signal, which 90.7 is in Madison, that the electrical stuff coming from the wires that are around you can tend to interfere with the signal. And when the green happens, all of a sudden all the cars are moving again. I think it's the movement that actually takes you out of the zone where it's particularly hard to hear. The effect is actually quite intense with AM radio. AM 970 will be like that. With FM, it seems to be more of an issue when it's a weak signal. Or also, there's another effect with FM. They call it multipath, which will happen in mountainous areas and in cities, which are kind of like concrete mountains in a way with the different buildings, where what's happening is that a stereo FM signal in particular, this will happen. So 90.7 is somewhat less subject to things like that. But signals will arrive in your radio at a slightly different time and cause a kind of a kind of a sound. So that can be happening as well. We have always get a lot of questions about reception. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the map. I realized it needs to be updated too, actually, at wpr.org/regions, plural. And that has a listing of all of our stations, and it has maps of both of the Ideas Network and the Classical Music mm-hmm. and News Network.
What needs to be added to it?
It needs WHAA. That's not on this particular map.
The Adams Friendship
Adams,
Station?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Adams, and it also needs the new WUWS from Ashland put on the map. But what's really striking is, and I'd encourage people to look at this, and you could picture one of our challenges, and that is that some of the circles are really big, and some of them not so much, and some of them really tiny. And there was a comment on the listener logs that talked about how people in central Wisconsin really feel left out by WPR. And you'll see when you look at the map that the circles don't always cover. Like, there's a portion of Juneau County here and Green Lake County that things are pretty weak. Shawano County looks pretty rough. And then when you get up into the Northwoods, there's just large areas where it's going to be very difficult to get our signal. And that's because every single station is licensed by the Federal Communications Commission to serve an area. And they can be large or small depending on the other stations and trying to prevent as best as is possible interference between stations. So we struggle with that all the time. Not a perfect system. Our goal going back to the very beginnings of the predecessors to WPR, 9XM, have certainly been to reach the entire state, and we continue to work on that. But we're not there.
Any update on the possibility of a WPR station in Niagara, in that northeastern corner of the state?
No update other than that we have permission to build it, which started just a couple of months ago, and you have 3 years to get that done. We're not at the point of figuring out how we would finance that. I think we mentioned at previous versions of this that the single federal program that helped to fund many of the stations that public radio has built over the years and public television, the PTFP, or Public Telecommunications Facilities Program, that was zeroed out in the budget deliberations in the summer. And we had a 75% match from, and then we raised the rest locally. And we're about 98% of the way there for the Ashland station that we mentioned, WUWS. There won't be another PTFP match, so we haven't figured out how we're going to yet finance the stations that we have the license to build. Niagara, Rhinelander, there's a new one for Superior as well. And so stay tuned is all I can say about those.
That reminds me, Mike, we have lots of callers, but briefly, do we know if public radio funding, federal public radio funding for, say, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is on the bubble now that there are going to be automatic budget cuts in 2013?
Well, if it goes through as we've heard, that could happen. The idea of the cuts is they'd be across the board, but I think the feeling of a lot of people is that there's a tremendous amount of wrangling that will occur between now and the actual possibility of the cuts. So the answer would be we're on guard, we're worried, but we don't know for sure.
Let's hit the phones again, and Jerry in Menasha is with us now. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I would appreciate, if at all possible, maybe a few more call-in shows for this reason. Not only do I learn a great deal from your staff and your programs, but also from your listeners who call in, people of all stripes with all sorts of ideas. They seem to all be so intelligent and really stimulate your thinking. And also, due to the bad news that we get through newspapers and normal television, and other methods, why if you didn't have your Saturday morning programming, I would slump into gross depression. It lifts me. I go nowhere Saturday morning. I bake. I stay in so that I can hear those delightful people because it gives me strength to face the following week of gloomy news.
That's wonderful, Jerry. I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad that Saturday mornings can give you a smile. That's for sure. Well, our callers rock, our talk shows rock, and our Saturday morning shows rock. That's pretty good.
Yeah. It'd be great if we could do even more call-ins, but we run really fast. You know, Joy, you probably wouldn't say this about yourself, but you and your crew do an amazing job.
Well, that's very nice.
And even if we were just to count the hours, because it's a 3-hour talk show every morning. That's an incredible accomplishment, and everyone works very hard on this and all of our shows to make sure that the topics are interesting, the guests are great, the calls get in. I feel very privileged to work here with you and the whole crew doing all our shows.
Thank you, Mike, and Jerry, thank you so much too. But we're all very happy to do these shows on the Ideas Network, the call-in shows, but it's not only the Joy Cardine show from 6 until 9. We have Kathleen Dunn from 9 until 11 and Larry Mueller from 11 until 12:30. Then there's the National Talk of the Nation and Here on Earth with Gene Faraca and At Issue with Ben Mearns. We do more live, locally produced call-in shows probably than most other public radio stations, Mike. I know at one time we certainly were doing the most. Are we still doing the most?
You know, I haven't surveyed that, but we've got to be right up there because most of the stations around the country that do talk shows also have Morning Edition and All Things Considered on.
That's right.
We invented this Ideas Network that's opposite of those programs. So, you know, Joy, you and Ben have to compete, and actually so does Gene, with those signature NPR programs. And the listenership tells us that it's a great competition, that many, many people really value listening to the Ideas Network, and that's terrific.
Jerry, thank you so much for the calls. That reminds me, I know that Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is holding a holiday party coming up. Is it? I don't think it's this Saturday, but the Saturday after. We'll check into that. So you can join Michael Feldman. If you're in the Madison area or plan to be in the Madison area, there's going to be a fun live Saturday show, some sort of a holiday party.
Yeah, and it is December 17th. It's in the Mitchell Theater on the UW campus. It's the holiday party show. You can participate just by listening, of course, but it is fun. It's a potluck and so on. And I found out the date really quickly, by the way, by looking at notmuch.com. So if you want to get the details on that, you'll find that right in the home site of the What Do You Know show, notmuch.com.
I think I'm going to try to get tickets to that. That would be fun. So Craig on Alaska is with us now. Hi, Craig.
Good morning. I have a quick suggestion that I think would help make things a little bit more interesting and informative for people, and that's when you have a college professor, make certain that you tell where the professor is from, both the school and the location of the school. For example, I'm looking right now online at Concordia, and there's about a half a dozen or more schools that are Concordia University. And I think by saying that it's Concordia College in Chicago or in Austin, Texas, that it would help.
Yeah, we should do. I think we try to do that, but maybe fall down every once in a while. So yeah, we should say where.
Well, especially when it's the same name of a college in a bunch of places. So yeah, that's a good point.
Very good point. Thank you so much, Craig. We'll try to do better.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thanks very much. And Jeff in Springfield is with us now. Hello, Jeff.
Hi there. Appreciate the show. I do want to, I love As It Happens. I don't know how much support that show gets, but I absolutely love that. But I live actually in Richland County, and this was brought up before, and it is still an issue, at least Monday through Saturday. At about 3:00, instead of getting the Ideas Network, 91.3 in Highland switches to the national NPR feed. And I never get Ben Marin's because as I'm driving home, I'm out of range of lacrosse, and then I lose 90.7.
But I know about this. Yes,
I've heard about this one, too.
Yeah, and in fact, it turns out that the 91.3 is receivable in parts of Madison, and I know I've got, because reception in Madison's a little uneven for the Ideas Network with the tiny transmitters we have in the area on FM, I have a bunch of spots on the dial, and sometimes I can get the 91.3. That one is an accident of history, as so many things are, which is that we were eager before my time to make sure that people that were in that area of that station in the southwest of the state did have a chance to receive what was considered the signature NPR program, all things considered. And we've actually been talking about whether it's time to change that to put Ben Behrens on at that time. And I can tell, Jeff, where your vote is, and I value that. And we have been having some discussions about making that change, because it would certainly, if nothing else, be more consistent that the Ideas Network is always the Ideas Network. What it will do, however, and this is why we hesitated while we've been talking about this, is it means that there will be some number of people who won't find any of the NPR News and Classics station in that area that will lose out on this particular choice. So good input and something we are actively thinking about.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Brian emails, I'm 50 years old and I have never heard a President's Weekly radio address. Any chance after the next election, to avoid bias, WPR could schedule a rebroadcast at some point during the week?
Good question. We haven't actually, in my knowledge, scheduled them for anyone in many years. The sense we have is that that's, if it's news, we'll cover it in a newscast. Certainly in these days, it's available online as well. So it hasn't been something we've thought was a major service that we should offer. And I do know that some commercial stations in communities around the state do offer that as a broadcast, so that might be an option to explore as well.
Someone wrote to our listener services center, our audience services center, I enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio's classical music network, but sometimes there's too much talk and too little music. I suggest you play longer pieces with fewer interruptions.
You know, that's one of the dances that our classical music hosts really do, is that we want to give context, we want to share the music. But I remember saying to Stephanie Elkins one time, we were talking about just this challenge, and the challenge in my mind is that sometimes a piece of music needs a little explanation, but sometimes the best possible thing to do is let the music speak for itself. And so that's what we're trying to figure out on an ongoing basis. And I hear that preference. We do still play very long pieces of music. You know, in classical music, it would be normal for a piece to be 10, 15, even 20 minutes long, and we play those. And when you compare that to the 2.5 minutes or so of a typical pop music song, pretty amazing that we're able to do that. But we'll continue to and look for opportunities to play when appropriate, even longer works. There's the occasional classical music piece that goes over an hour, and we do try to play those once in a while.
Someone wants to know, I recently attended one of your HD radio listening sessions. We talked about that last month. One of the presenters mentioned that WPR gave away dipole FM antennas to improve reception. Can you please help?
Yeah. All they really need to do is get in touch with listener services, and they can ask for that. It's also something you can pick up at Radio Shack, which is in many communities. Very simple. People that have been around for a long time will remember these. They might have attached them to their stereo set years ago to get great FM reception. But they're still useful for the HD radios. You can just call listener services at 800-747-7444, or listener at WPR.org works as well. And mention that you wanted to get a dipole antenna to try with your HD radio. There's a really extensive amount of information on our website, but you have to wade through it because it's more technical than we'd like. And in fact, one of the things we're trying to figure out with those HD town meetings that we've been doing about classical music listening is figuring out what it is people really want to know and how we can tell them best. But if you go to WPR.org/HD, you'll find all kinds of information about how to improve your reception, either for HD or really just for radio generally.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff.
We only have 30 seconds to go. Mike, your next appearance will be Monday, January the 9th, and we'll have NPR's new CEO with us as well for a part of that show. Any holiday wish for our listeners as we go out?
Oh, yes, that it's safe, most of all, because it can be crazy with the weather getting rougher. And I know that the holidays are not happy for everyone, but I really will wish for everybody they have the happiest holiday possible.
Thank you. Mike Crane, Wisconsin Public Radio's director. I'm Joy Cardine. Thank you for listening. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.